Plant the seed of corn in the ground, and the stalk will grow up with, for example, 3 years of corn. On average, each ear has 1,000 kernels, so from one seed we get 3,000. Jesus speaks in John 12:23-26, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I was raised in the faith from the age of 9 by a Yugoslavian-American full gospel pastor named Brother Stanley. His formal schooling was terminated in just 6 years of age when his father fell ill, and his mother needed him to help run their small farm. Although Brother Stanley had no formal education, God taught him to read Yugoslavian, Russian, and English, but imagine this, only the Bible. If you gave him a newspaper, the best he could do was fumble through the headlines. After Brother Stanley retired from Ford Motor Company, he and his other saints went door to door, evangelizing for Jesus Christ in western Pennsylvania in the United States. They soon opened a storefront church in Logstown, Pennsylvania. Often Brother Stanley would call on the family to sing a special song for the congregation. The family was comprised of my father, mother, sister, brother, and myself. The congregation was small, and there were many times that when we would stand to sing, there were more of the family standing than there was sitting in the pews. Brother Stanley and the saints were faithful in this humble ministry and can today only imagine the fruits of their labor. All the lives they have affected, directly and indirectly, can be counted into the millions. Truly, little is much when God is in it. All of the marvels of the Christian ministry of reconciliation began with one seed planted on a cross on Golgotha's hill, and that seed was Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again? In just a moment, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you do, you will join the untold millions who have bowed their knee to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory and Savior, to all who will call upon his name. Today, all of your sins and your shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be clean, pristine clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. You will be free, completely free. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." God said, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God said, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Okay. Man said, "Isn't evolution awesome? Wow, all these incredible and complex life forms we see just popped into existence by accident. You know, it makes so much sense." Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1192, that will once again contend for the faith. Each feature is archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as bait for the fishers of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for coming. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. Many features on God Said, Man Said have addressed the pseudo-wise and their bold talk against the Word of God. Many unsuspecting have been robbed from the simplicity of Jesus Christ as a result of their confident foolishness, even their confident blasphemy. Keep in mind their truth of yesterday is debunked by their truth of today, and their truth of today will be debunked by their truth of tomorrow. If all that shuffling around wasn't bad enough, they actually brag about it. Yes, they are actually proud of how little they know for certain. Contrast that cavalier attitude with God's word, which is true and righteous altogether, always has been and always will be. Hebrews 13:8 reads, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And that, by the way, is the nature of truth. It never changes. Be of good cheer, saints. Not one tenet of the beautiful book has been controverted. You need to know it's true, and it certainly is. The God of the world's academics is the theory of evolution. It is one of the unspoken names of blasphemy in Revelation 17:1 through 5. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away, in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. A foundational principle of evolution is the doctrine of uniformitarianism, which states that the present is the key to the past. According to this teaching, the geology of the earth moves along at a steady, predictable, and uniform rate. Therefore, uniformitarians claim, if we look at the history we know and extrapolate backwards, we can estimate the age of the earth with relative accuracy, right? The believer and the unbeliever reviewing the same facts will come to opposite conclusions. The Bible records two very real geological events that nobody, not even a uniformitarian, would call uniform. These two biblically recorded events can be proven to be accurate beyond any reasonable doubt, even to the finest detail. Uniformitarian problem number one. If a uniformitarian had come across the earth just 15 minutes after the end of the sixth day of creation, that person would look around and assume age. As a result of his ignorance of and unbelief in Holy Scripture, the uniformitarian most certainly assumes age. That assumption leads to the creation of a mechanism, some concoction of unbelief necessary to assuage the mind to explain away the assumption of age. Yet throughout all of the mental gymnastics the uniformitarian is performing, the earth, its life forms, its universe, all remain at most 6 days and 15 minutes old. Of course, no uniformitarian would call creation uniform. Uniformitarian problem number two. Genesis declares a devastating global flood that destroyed all inhabitants of the dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils. The only exceptions were those on board Noah's Ark. The destruction extended to the earth's trees and foliage, and it also came with a total remake of the earth's topography. Of course, no uniformitarian would call an utterly world-devastating global flood uniform. The Bible takes a very clear yes on these two events, very real, very provable events, and nobody would call them uniform. Uniformitarianism says work backward from the present to predict the past. Yes, they are backward as far as 180 degrees from one another. The unbeliever and the believer will approach the same facts and come to opposite conclusions. The unbeliever sees billions of years when the believer sees a young earth. Even when these billions of years are granted to the evolutionists, it is obvious to many, including even their own, that time and chance just can't get it done. Some evolutionists, like Richard Dawkins, have pinned their hopes on E.T., extraterrestrials, coming down and seeding the earth from outer space. Dread the thought that they would consider that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not from this world. The world's academics are consistently forced to update their unbelief, but somehow credit is seldom given to God's Word. Some glaring examples. Until the 1960s, evolutionists claimed that the earth had no beginning. Now they know it did, but haven't credited Genesis 1:1 yet. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Until the last couple of decades, evolutionists were certain that this world's population did most definitely not come from one common mother and one common father. Then microbiology came along and knocked them on their unbelieving ear. Evolutionists have now been forced to concede that the population of this world is the result of one common mother and one common father, known to science as mtDNA Eve and Y chromosome Adam. However, no credit was given to Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, or Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Here's what it says. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Evolutionists headed for the tall grass in the late 1990s when soft tissue was found in dinosaur bones that were purported to be at least 65 million years old. Wow, how could that be? Could the idol of their unbelief be young? No, no, no. So their position was to change their understanding of fossilization rather than credit Job chapter 40, 15 through 19. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. One of evolution's own demeaned the world struckers, the lifeline of the world economy, when he asserted that if man and dinosaur walked the earth together, he and his evolution colleagues would have to take up truck driving. I assure you, they would not survive in the trucking industry. Uniformitarianism, the notion that the present is the key to the past, is foundational to evolution, and unbelief is foundational to uniformitarianism. They start upside down, and consequently all their conclusions are upside down. No amount of time and chance could produce the evolution of nothing into everything, and their purported proof of long ages collapses on a rather regular basis. The four-page spread in the October-December 2023 issue of Answers Magazine carries the headline, Faster Than You Think. The feature was written by Calvin Smith, and excerpts from the article follow. Fast Fossils. For many people, the idea of evolution occurring over vast ages is literally rock solid, proven by the number of fossilized creatures entombed in sediments around the world. However, with new research, the evolutionists admit fossils can form incredibly fast. According to Canadian paleontologist and evolutionist Dr. Phil Currie, the amount of time that it takes for a bone to become completely permineralized is highly variable. If the groundwater is heavily laden with minerals in solution, the process can happen rapidly. Rapidly indeed. In a 2018 study by the University of Bristol, researchers created fossils in just 24 hours using a hydraulic press. The scientists stated that these synthetic fossils closely resemble exceptional fossils, not just visually, but also microscopically. Fossils can form rapidly under the right conditions, such as the conditions of the global flood that God used to judge a sin-filled world around 4,300 years ago, Genesis chapters 6 through 9. Sudden sediments. Rock layers can form very quickly. We see evidence of this rapid formation in the remains of trees and plants extending through multiple layers of sediments, such as the fossilized vertical tree stumps found in the cliffs in Joggins, Nova Scotia. These fossils extend through rock layers that most evolutionists would say accumulated over hundreds of thousands to millions of years. But dead trees don't stand around for thousands of years waiting to be buried. Generally, dead trees dry out at the top, rot out at the bottom, topple over after a short time, and get devoured by decomposers. So to find them standing upright with little to no signs of decomposition suggests they were buried and fossilized, very rapidly. The signs of their rapid fossilization means that the meters of rock surrounding them must have formed simultaneously. After studying evidence from before and after Mount St. Helens erupted, geologists observed that stratified rock, layers of rock formed over time, can accumulate in very short periods during catastrophic conditions. In one area, 25 feet of stratified deposit accumulated and hardened within 3 hours. Gems in a jiffy. Few countries know gems like Australia, the supplier of nearly 95% of the world's opals. According to the company Gem Story Australia, it takes about 5 to 6 million years to make 1 centimeter opal to mature. Dazzling opals from when water running through silica-rich sandstone layers carries silica into cracks and crannies. When the water evaporates, it leaves behind a solution of silicone dioxide and water, the ingredients for opals. Evolutionists believe this process happens very slowly over millions of years. But try telling that to Len Cram, an Aussie in New South Wales who grows opals in weeks. Cram, who holds a PhD and wrote a thesis on opal research, is likely one of the world's leading authorities on opals. In fact, the opals he produces are indistinguishable from opals dug out of local mines that sell for hundreds of dollars. Opals aren't the only precious gem to be produced quickly. Recent research found that naturally forming emerald and tourmaline likely grew in just a few hours. Quick coal accumulation. Some modern evolutionary coal geologists concede that specific coal deposits are better explained as deposited by flood. But is there observational evidence that suggests all coal beds around the world might have been created quickly? The 20-megaton blast from Mount St. Helens devastated approximately 230 square miles almost instantaneously. Many 190 feet tall Douglas fir trees were blown off their stumps and stripped of their branches, and up to 1 million logs fell into Spirit Lake beside the volcano. Because their root ends were thicker and denser, many logs floated upright. During subsequent years, an estimated 20,000 logs sank to the lake floor, many of them upright. 5 years after the initial eruption. Scuba divers and radar equipment confirmed many logs were buried over 3.3 feet deep. The remaining trees on the surface formed a gigantic floating mat, constantly bobbing and banging into one another, causing them to shed bark and branches. The falling sheets of bark, branches, and root materials intermingled with volcanic sediments. In just a few years, these components formed a layer of peat more than 3 feet thick, with a coarse texture and a layered appearance looking like other coal beds found in the eastern United States. Coal beds can form rapidly during catastrophic deforestation events. The Great Genesis Flood would have destroyed the Earth's forest very quickly, resulting in huge log mats that would have supplied tons of bark, branches, and other woody matter that sank and provided the raw materials to form Earth's coal layers, end of quotes. Their long ages continually fall apart. The following paragraphs are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Adam and Eve, Mutations and Devolution. Microbiology study of DNA continues to knock the pinnings out from under the theory of evolution. Chittick continues his dissertation and goes on to quote Ann Gibbons as she wrote in the January 2, 1998 issue of Science. The title of the Gibbons article is Calibrating the Mitochondrial Clock. Chittick writes, what has been the result of further investigation since the 1988 and 1995 results were published? An interesting subsequent development has been calibrated of the mitochondrial clock by using actually observed data rather than by using speculations from evolutionism. The result has shown that the clock ticks very much faster than expected. End of quote. Gibbons reports, mitochondrial DNA appears to mutate much faster than expected, prompting new DNA forensics procedures and raising troubling questions about the dating of evolutionary events. In 1991, Russians exhumed a Siberian grave containing 9 skeletons thought to be the remains of the last Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, and his family and retinue, who were shot by firing squad in 1918. But 2 bodies were missing, so no one could be absolutely certain of the identity of the remains. And DNA testing done in 1992, expected to settle the issue quickly, instead raised a new mystery. The mystery concerned dates relating to the clock rate. It appears that the mutations occur at a much more rapid rate than had been imagined. Although there seems to be considerable debate about the cause of the faster rate has been verified by independent investigations. Again, Gibbons says, regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated the mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mtDNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old, end quote. In the September 2012 issue of Acts and Facts, science writer Brian Thomas wrote concerning the age of man and the earth under the title, A Recent Explosion of Human Diversity. Several paragraphs follow. Everyone should know that the cosmos was created. It also stands to reason that those who listen to Moses and the prophets, as Jesus said, should be able to see more specific evidence of biblical creation, including scientific discoveries. One such evidence is human genetic diversity, which leaves evolutionary history in a quagmire while confirming a straightforward interpretation of Genesis. The research team investigated the amount of diversity among today's human genes and how long it took to reach the current amount of diversity. They concluded that human genes diversified recently. The authors wrote, the maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This is a tiny fraction, 0.2% of the 2.4 million years of humanity that evolutionists suppose. The explosion of human genetic diversity has occurred in parallel with and because of human population growth. With each new person comes another opportunity for DNA differences to arise, either by design genetic shuffling processes or mutations. For example, if the evolutionary timeline is true, then human population growth and genetic diversity were miraculously unchanged for a few million years before suddenly exploding in just the last few thousand years. What are the odds that every married couple would have had almost exactly two offspring, just enough to replace the parents, survive into the next generation for over 2 million years or 100,000 straight generations? In addition, where are all the human remains that should litter the planet after having been peopled for so long? In short, why does the human genetic diversity data fit so well with biblical creation? Evolutionary theory provides no real answer to what caused the radical bottleneck in the worldwide human population at that time, whereas the Bible teaches that it was Noah's flood. This genetics study confirms Moses and the prophets. Both science and scripture show that humans have multiplied and diversified within the past 5,100 years, end of quote. If we took 5,100 years and divided by evolution's purported 14 billion years of time, all human diversity occurred in just 0.00000364 of all time. Wow, that's a big deal, right? There was nothing, and then all of a sudden, everything. The headline in the December 29, 2012 issue of Science News reads, "Human Diversity's Recent Explosion." The subhead reads, "Most genetic variation came about in the last 5,000 years." The more science looks into the invisible, the more the facts shout yes to God's holy Bible. Keep in mind that God is invisible, and he created all of that which is out of that which is invisible. Now consider this headline from May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts, "Is Mankind Getting Dumber?" Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. "Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes, according to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts. The results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within?" Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. This biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprits. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. Their loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes, and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each new generation accrues about 60 new mutations to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our many ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years then, a little less than 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated at least 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. This appears to confirm three lessons that we can that can be drawn from the Bible. First, Adam and Eve's brains were originally very good. Second, we had our best brains about 6,000 years ago. Third, humanity has suffered genetic degradation since then under the curse. The rebuttal authors who resist the genetic decay principle handpick numbers that support evolutionary history. Crabtree instead used numbers collected from real-world studies, and those studies present an ever clearer case for a human race that was very good at the start, but is steadily falling apart, end of quote. In the book In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation, we find book in 6 days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation, we find a telling paragraph written about and by Dr. John R. Baumgartner. In 6 days, writes about the doctor. Dr. Baumgartner is a technical staff member in the theoretical division of Los Alamos National Laboratory. He holds a B.S. in electrical engineering from Texas Tech University, an M.S. in electrical engineering from Princeton University, and an M.S. and Ph.D. in geophysics and space physics from UCLA. Dr. Baumgartner is the chief developer of the TerraCode, a 3D finite element program for modeling the Earth's mantle and lithosphere. His current research is in the areas of planetary mantle dynamics and the development of efficient hydrodynamic methods for supercomputers. Dr. Baumgartner writes concerning how coded language structures such as in DNA arise. Despite all the millions of pages of evolutionist publications, from journal articles to textbooks to popular magazine stories, which assume and imply that material processes are entirely adequate to accomplish macroevolutionary miracles, there is in reality no rational basis for such belief. It is utter fantasy. Coded language structures are non-material in nature and absolutely require a non-material explanation, end of quote. Time, chance, and random mutations do not create an Earth, its universe, and all the amazing life forms within it. When you start from the position of unbelief, everything is upside down. You will marvel that your first cousin is the mushroom and your daddy is the monkey, and before you know it, you'll be wondering, which bathroom do I use? God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. When God's word says that the earth and its universe are just over 6,000 years old, you can be certain that it is true. God said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God said, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Man said, isn't evolution awesome? Wow, all these incredible and complex life forms we see just popped into existence by accident. You know, it makes so much sense. Now you have the record.